Okay, we're starting here in the middle of Yud Bet by the two dots. The Gemara here is commenting on the Mishnah that Liyirakot, we have a Rosh Hashanah Liyirakot, which is Aleph Tishrei. Tana, we have a Braita. Liyirakot, Uli Masrot, Uli Nidarim. So the Gemara says here you have a Braita that enumerates other items that Rosh Hashanah is relevant for. Rosh Hashanah, as we know it, Aleph Tishrei. That is Yirakot, Masrot, and Nidarim. Gemara says Liyirakot, my Ninu. What does it mean that it's Rosh Hashanah Liyirakot? It's Maser Yerek. That's the Maser of vegetables. Where it says, Hainu Masrot. Didn't you mention Masrot already? Masrot are enumerated there in the Beraita. So why do you have to mention Masrot separately from Maser Yerek? Or the other way around, why do you have to mention Maser Yerek separately from Masrot? Tana de Rabbanan, Viktani de Oraita. It's telling you both Maser de Rabbanan, as well as Maser min HaTorah. So the Litne de Oraita Bereisha, wouldn't you expect them to put the mitzvah min HaTorah Masrot first, and then afterwards have Yirakot, so you'd have Masrot, then Yirakot. How come the order is Yirakot and then Masrot? Aydi de Chavivile, since it was beloved to him, Akdama, he moved it up. That's a principle we see many times that the Gemara quotes with regards to Tanaic works, or Mishnayot, that when there's a limud de Rabbanan, or a takana de Rabbanan, that they give that precedence. In the Mishnah, even though you would believe that they would give the Doraita aspect precedence, and that's because Chaviva, that they took pride or love in the fact that they had been Doresh the Torah, or they expanded the Misgeret around the Torah, and therefore they mentioned the Din de Rabbanan before the Din de Oraita. Now, Vatana Didan, what about our Tana, who only mentions Yirakot and doesn't mention Masrot? So he says, Tana de Rabbanan, he mentioned Yirakot, V'choshekein de Oraita. It's a Kal V'chomer, it's easy to conclude, to infer from the fact that if Maser Yirakot is on Rosh Hashanah itself, on Aleph Tishrei, then of course, de Oraita, it also is the same thing. When it says, V'litne Maser, how come it says Masrot in plural, rather than Maser in the singular? It says, Echad Maser Beima, Echad Maser Dagan. Because it comes to include both Maser Beima and Maser Dagan in the plural. Obviously, that means that this is according to Rabbi Shimon, who believes that Maser Beima is on Aleph Tishrei, rather than Rabbi Meir, who believes that it's on Aleph Elul. Benitle Yerek. So why does it say Yirakot in plural instead of Yerek? Tre Gavne Yerek. There are two types of vegetables. It's none. Yerek Hane'agad. Mishiagad, a type of vegetable which normally is bound, then it's only once it's bound. Vishainu negad, if it's a vegetable that is not normally bound, mishamleyata kli, until you fill up the kli with it, or if it doesn't memaleyata kli, then it's shilaket kol tzorcho, that you collect enough of it. So as far as masrot are concerned, just like by truma, you have stages along the way which create obligations. By Truma, in order to determine which year it is in, we're going to see in a second, there is a certain what's called Onata Masrot. There's a time period at which the threshold where a vegetable or fruit or so on and so forth determine which year they belong to. So we say by Yerek, it's Batar Likitato. It's and when you collect it, when you pick it, that's when the Onata Masrot is determined. For fruits, it's batar chanato. It goes after the blossoming, the budding of the flowers for the fruit. That's when it determines the year in which the fruit belongs. So here, we're talking about a secondary issue, which is, when do you become chayav to be mafrish masrot? So one is the determination of the year. The second one is the chiyuv masrot. When does it devolve upon you? So here it says, the gemar malacha here for yirakot that are collected is mishnei agad. Once you bind them. And if these are Yirakot, they're normally bound. When you bind them, that's what generates the Chiyuv Maser. And other vegetables that are not normally bound, but are placed into a Kli, or collected. So in those instances, once you've collected enough, or you put them into your Kli, that's what drives the Chiyuv Masrot. Similar to by Truma, the Miruach HaKri, the flattening out of the pile and smoothing out of the pile, is the Gemar Malacha, and that generates the Chiyuv Truma. So here, Masrot has two time points, or thresholds, a threshold which determines the year which it belongs to, and then a separate threshold, which is when the obligation starts. So we're talking about here when the obligation starts, and it says there are different categories of Yerek. There's certain Yerek that are determined this way, certain Yerek that are determined that way. What's interesting here is that the Gemara makes a distinction between Maser Yerek, which is Derabanan, and then Masrot, which are De'oraita. If you look at this in a vacuum, you would assume, and Tosafot points this out, that Maser Yerek is Derabanan, but everything else is Maser De'oraita. So that would include Perot Ailan, all fruits, any type of vegetation besides vegetables, and then Tvua as well. So the Tosafot says, that's what you would conclude from this Gemara. He says not only that, he brings the Yerushalmi in a number of places, which seems to say the same thing, that the only Maser that is Derabanan is Maser Yerek. It happens to be that some of the Rishonim actually believe that, that Maser Yerek is the only Maser Derabanan. Maser on Perot Ailan is also De'oraita, and we'll discuss what else is De'oraita, the things that are mentioned in the Pasuk, which we'll discuss in 1 second. But Tosafot is unwilling to accept that, and he brings down numerous sources to show that that's not the case, that it's not just Maaser Yerek, but even Perot Ailan, even fruits, are only Chayav and Shemot Masrot Midrabanan. The Pasuk itself only mentions Dagan, Tirosh, V'Yitzhar. Three items that the Pasuk mentions in terms of Shemot and Masrot. Dagan being grains, Tirosh being grapes or wine, and Yitzhar being olives or olive oil. So those three items we are certain are De'oraita, have a chiyuv trumot masrot De'oraita. The other thing that we are certain about is that Maser Yerek is De'rabanan. Those are the two things we're absolutely certain about. Perot Ailan is really a machloket harishonim, part of it because the Gemara is soter itself in numerous places. Here, it mentions only Maser Yerek in the category De'rabanan. In other places that we found that, for instance, with Bitul, we saw this in Beitza, that Ktziot were considered to be Truma Midrabanan. And there it says, Afilu Betruma Derabanan Lobatle. Then it's not Batel. Why did it call it Truma Derabanan? Because it was talking about Perota Ilan. So there you see that Perota Ilan are Derabanan. So there is the Machok de Rishonim, the Rambam, other Rishonim suggest that Perot Ailan are Chayav Midoraita, whereas there are Rishonim like Tosafot here that seems to indicate that it's Midrabanan even by Perot Ailan and even by Yerek. It obviously has Nafkuminot in terms of Safek and other items as to whether it's a Din Derabonon or a Din Doraita, as well as the practice for the countries or areas around Eretz Yisrael, that they used to keep certain amount of Trumot Masrot in support of Eretz Yisrael, and that also might depend on whether it's Derabanan or Deoraita. So anyway, Tosafot concludes here that it's not, and he says, why does the Gemara here and Yerushalmi call Maaser Yerek Derabanan versus Perot Ailan? He says, because Perot Ailan have an Asmachta in the craw. They have something like a limud in the craw, even though it's only Asmachta and it's a Derabanan. He says, Maaser Yerek doesn't have any Asmachta in the craw, and therefore it's a complete din derabanan without any smachto. So we're talking about gradations of derabanan. One is just a plain derabanan, one's a derabanan that has an smachto in the kra. So that's why the Gemara may distinguish between them, between Perot Ailan and Yerek, but he thinks that the din is not different.
Because of the process of what year they
belong. Updating, right? I don't know. It's a good question. In a sense, Tosfot asks your question because he says, doesn't our Mishnah as well as the Braita mention Shmitim, Yovlot, mentions them in plural. How come the Gemara doesn't address those being in plural? He says, those things that the Gemara had an answer for, it brought up. Those things the Gemara didn't have an answer for, it didn't bring up. So, to ask, what was the Havamina by Yerakot to say that it's different? I don't know if it's such a strong question. The Gemara is just trying to work through the Lashon, and it knows that there are others that it's not going to be able to address. The simple answer to the question is, and this is true in most of the times in the Mishnah, is Shmitin and Yovlot. Just means Shemitah in general, and Yovlot in general. And same thing with Yerakot. It means Yerakot in general, not that you're looking at two specific categories. Happened to have find that there is two categories of Yerakot, so they preferred to give an answer like that. But again, Tosafot notes that there are other items that the Gemara does not address. All right. Now, the Gemara continues. Tanrabanan. L'keit Yerek Erev Rosh Hashanah, Ad Shelo Tovo HaShemesh. Erev Rosh Hashanah, he picks Yerakot before the sun sets. V'chazar. V'likeit. And then he goes in and he picks again after the sun has set. Obviously, it's already Rosh Hashanah, so he can't pick. As the top Tosafot notes, B'yushamli Mukala bin Achri. Obviously, it's dealing with the non-Jew who's picking here, not the Jew that's picking. But once the sun has set, he picks again. Ein tormim u'masrim mizeh alzeh. They're considered to belong to two different years, one to the previous year, one to the upcoming year now. You can't mix years. You can't have the old stuff and the new stuff mixed together. Each year gets its own Trumot Masrot completely separately. Without getting into it, but with the Nachri, it depends what the Yerushalmi means. Does the Yerushalmi mean that the Nachri is picking, it's a Jew's property and he's picking it for him? Or does it mean that it's a Nachri's property in Eretz Yisrael, and the Nachri doesn't have the ability to mafkia Trumot Masrot, and he's Chayav in Trumot Masrot? So that's a much deeper and more involved machloket, having to do with Heter Mechira and all these other things, but you can be mafkia Kedushat Aretz. Alright, so now, the Gemara says, Im hayta shniya nichneset l'shlishit. If the second year of the Trumot Masrot cycle, the cycle is 7 years, seventh year is Shemitah, and then you have 6 years, which are the Trumot Masrot cycle, the third year and the sixth year are different. In the first 2 years, you obviously give, each year you have to give Bikurim, then Trumah Gedolah, then Maaser Rishon, and then Maaser Sheni in year 1, 2, and 4, and 5. In year 3 and 6, instead of Maaser Sheni, you give Maaser Ani. So the Gemara is going to have that limud now. But what the Gemara is pointing out here is that it was on the threshold between the second year and the third year, Shnia, Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. If the second year, then you give Masrot of Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni, Shlishit, for the third year, you give Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. So here it has more nafkamina. I mean, not only is there a difference that you can't take off Trumot Masrot from one on the other, but here there's even a bigger issue, which is, which year belongs to also determines which type of Masrot you're going to give. Are you going to give Maaser Sheni, or are you going to be giving Maaser Ani? So, Menahani Mile. How do we know there's such a distinction between the second and third year? I'm Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Says in Vidui Maaser in Parshat Kitavo, Kite Chalel Aser et Go Maaser Tvatcha B'Shana Ha Shlishit Shnata Maaser. So it says when you finish removing all your masrot from your grains, B'Shana Shlishit in the third year, Shnata Maaser, the year of Maaser. What does that mean that it's a year of Maaser? Isn't every year a year of Maaser? Shana Shein Ba El Maaser Echad. It's a year in which there's only one type of maser. Ha ketzad, what does that mean? Maser rishon u'maser ani. U'maser sheni yivatel bo. So that means that maser rishon and maser ani apply in that year. Maser ani is the new item that they're bringing in. And the one that we're going to drop is maser sheni. Now the reason that they say it's maser ani is because what's mentioned in Vidui Maser is the ger yatom ve'amana. So that maser is going to the ger yatom ve'almanah, that is what we call maser ani. That which goes to Levi is called maser rishon. So that's the first attempt of the Gemara to explain that pasuk in Parshat Ki Tavo. And the Gemara offers an alternative, enu ela af maser rishon nami yivatel. Maybe when we say that it's the year of maser, it means maser ani and nothing else. That means we're going to drop maser rishon and we're going to drop maser Sheni, and you'll only give Maaser Ani. What about the fact that it says, in Vidui Maaser Levi, you have to give it to the Ger Yatom Amana and the Levi. As Rashi points out, the Levi is also categories within that world of an Ani. Since he doesn't have a Nachala, since he doesn't have property that he owns, he's also like a Ger Yatom V'Amana, and Maaser Ani will apply to all of them. The Levi, the Ger Yatom V'Amana. And you'll only have Maaser Ani in the third year, no Maaser Rishon, no Maaser Sheni. Tumar says, no, Talmud Omar. The way Rashi interprets it is that there's only one Maaser that is Noheg from the other years as well. Maaser Echad means the one Maaser that we have, that we already had before. So there's only one Maaser that continues from the previous years. Now you could say Maaser Echad is referring to the Maaser Ani. I mean, you could read the pasuk as Maaser Echad referring to the Maaser Rishon, saying there's one Maaser that continues from the other years. You could read the Maaser Echad means that there's one Maaser that is different, which is the Maaser Ani. You could read it either way in terms of what it means in this context. But the Gemara is uncertain as to what happens with Maaser Rishon. Obviously, that wouldn't matter how you read the Maaser Echad over here. The Gemara says, no, you can't be Mevato Maaser Rishon, because Talmud Omar, Ela Levi'im Tidaber, Amar Talehem, Ki Techum Eid Bnei Yisrael to Maaser, Asher Natati Lechem Mi'itam Ve'Nachalatchem. When it tells the Levi'im, tell them when they take the maser from Bnei Yisrael that I gave to them as their inheritance. Hikish akatuv lenachala. The maser rishon is connected to nachala. Ma nachala in lahefsek. Af Meser Rishon in the Hefsek, just like Nachla is a permanent allocation, so too, Maser Rishon is a permanent allocation, 6 out of the 7 years, whenever Masrot are given, you will always give Maser Rishon. Tanya Namiochi, of a Braita that supports the understanding that we just had, or the way that we learned these Pesukim, Ki Techale Le'aser, again, which is the Pesuk from Kitavo, Shana Shein Ba'ela Maser Echad, a year in which there's only one Maser, HaKetzad, Maser Rishon U'Maser Ani, U'Maser Sheni Yivatel, Yachol Af Maser Rishon Nami Yivatel. I would think the Maser Rishon also gets eliminated, Tamalomar U'Va'alevi, Kozman Teba Tenlo. Here, the Braita repeated what the limudim that we had before, which is why this headed over here, but even though they eliminated Tanya Idoch, Tanya Namiochi, of a Braita that supports the understanding that we just had, or the way that we learned these psukim, that the psukim in Pashat Kitavo reference Maser Ani and Maser Rishon, and the Pasuk tells us that Maser Rishon stays, even though Maser Sheni gets dropped. So that's Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the explanation of the position of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Enu Tzarich. Ha'omer, Elavim tedaber, v'amarte lehem, ki techum eid ben Yisrael, to maser asher natati lachem me'itam benachalatchem, hikishu akduv lenachala. Ma nachala in lehefseik, at maser rishon in lehefseik. So here we have a braita that supports what we said before. The only difference between them is how do we know that the maser rishon stays permanently through all 6 years? According to Rabbi Yehuda, because it says, V'ayilevi, kozman sheba tenlo. Anytime he shows up, you have to give it to him. When he does he show up, he can show up every year. So therefore you have to give it to him. That means that Maaser Rishon exists all of the years, because he can come any of the years. But Elazar ben Yaakov has the same mood that we had before, which is that it ties it to Nachala. And just like Nachala is a permanent fixture, so is the Maaser Rishon a permanent fixture. I think that what Shaul is mentioning is also correct, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov probably does not accept Rabbi Yehuda's position, because Uva Levi in Devarim Yudalid is in the context of other individuals who are also coming. Individuals like the Ger Yatom Benar are coming, which we normally associate with the Aniyim, and therefore the Maser that's mentioned over here might refer to Maser Ani rather than Maser Rishon. Alright, now the Gemara continues Ulin Nedarim. So now, Ulin Nedarim, what does it mean that Rosh Hashanah has relevance to a Neder? Not because of Hatarat Nedarim, but what is the relevance of Nedarim? So Tana Banan. Amudar Hana Mechavero, the Shana, person who is restricted in getting hana from his friend for a year. Then you count 12 months, day to day. If he says for this year, even if he's only standing on the 29th of Elul, the year is over. Even going to Rabbi Lazar, who says that one day in a year does not equate to a full year, nevertheless, the Tzurei Nafshei Kobilale, he wanted to cause a certain amount of distress, and that's why he took the neder, and he had that distress. So since that's accomplished, then we don't worry about it. I mean, there was a certain amount of distance that he wanted to create between them. Mudar Ana means that he took the neder to restrict himself from benefiting from an individual. So he wanted to cause himself a certain amount of distance, or to restrict or refrain from engaging with this person or with this person's property. And he already accomplished that. I mean, no matter how short the duration is, it had effect. And since it took effect, that's enough to be finish it off. So it says, Vema Nisan. We had something similar with this regards to renting properties. And we said there that the possibility that Rosh Hashanah for renting properties, according to the Braita, was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Why don't we say the same thing over here? If that's the cutoff for years when we're dealing with transactional items, why don't we say the same thing with regards to the Nidorim? Where it says, Bin Nidorim, Haleich, Achar Lashon Bnei Adam. When it comes to Nidorim, we go after the colloquial. We go after what people normally mean when they say Rosh Hashanah. When we speak of Rosh Hashanah, we mean Aleph Tishrei, despite the fact that that's not the only Rosh Hashanah, and despite the fact that that's the only Rosh Hashanah that's really not explicit. It's the only one that we know does not exist in the Psukim. Nevertheless, in conversation, in the colloquial terminology, Rosh Hashanah refers to Aleph Tishrei. Therefore, in Neder, when he takes the Neder, he's referring, when he says Shanazu, he's referring to Tishrei. It's not Hatam. We have a Mishnah in Masrot. Atiltan, Misha Tzitzmach. Atiltan is once it, we'll see in a second, grows. Hatvua Vazitim, Misha Aviu Shlish. grains and olives once they reach a third. So these are the onata masrot. These are the thresholds for which year is the year in which you take off shumata masrot from these items. So here you have tiltan, which seems to be an independent category. Doesn't have the category like yirakot. We already know that yirakot are batar l'kitato, after goes after it's picked. And when it comes to fruits, we go batar chanato. We go after when it starts to bud on the tree. So that is the determination for perot eilan. That's the determination for yirakot. Tiltan, which is fenugreek, has its own determination, which is mititzmach. Tvua, which we don't have a determination for, is mishehevi shlish, one-third of its maturity. That is when it hits onata masro. And zeitim, despite the fact that they're perot eilan, are also under this category of a shlish. Rashi over here says that the reason that the Mishnah here doesn't mention tirosh, which is also mishehevi shlish, is because dagan v'tirosh kruim tvua. The word tvua incorporates both dagan and tirosh, and then you have zeitim separately. Tosafot takes issue with that. He says, I don't know where Rashi got that from, because they all come out of the same pasuk, which is dagan tirosh v'itar, and the word tvua is used in that context to mean both grapes, olives, and tvua. And he says, if you're going to say that it included tvua includes grapes, it should also include olives, and there's no reason why it should be enumerated separately. So then Tosfot asks, okay, well, if that's the case, then how come by grapes we don't go after a third like we do by Tevuah and Zeitim? Now you have a separate question. Why are Anavim, why are Tirosh left out of this? And he brings other rayot, the fact that Anavim have a different time. And then he says in the end, that is the one-third mark, that the Mishnayot in Masrot, they give all these different time periods for these items or these fruits. They're all saying the same thing, which is, it is one-third. When is one-third? And then it gives you certain markers to tell you what one-third of the maturity is. And, oh, so then it says, V'adalok tani mishi yavyu shlish. So then, why doesn't it say yavyu shlish by anavim? Kediktani gavei tuvah v'zeitim. Mishom dekulu efshar liten v'em siman chutz mituvah v'zeitim. Says all of them have a marker that tells you when they hit the one-third point, and you can use that as a marker. Whereas Zeitim and Tvuah don't have an obvious marker on them once they hit one-third maturity, so they just told you one-third maturity. He says these are different because of that nature of the Tvuah and the Zeitim, that there's no obvious marker at the one-third point. Then gives another reason why Tvuah and Zeitim might be singled out, is because Tvuah and Zeitim are re'uim even before they reach a third of maturity. That these unripe olives are used in a certain mixture, as well as the shachat, the early grain, is before it reaches one-third maturity, is used for feed. And therefore, since they have usage or utility before they reach one-third, you might have thought that Tva and Zeitim, even before the one-third mark, are chayavim. And along comes the statement here to say no. They are the third like everything else, and they don't have a chiyuv beforehand. It gives two reasons why Tva and Zeitim are singled out here, either because they're ru'im before that period of time, or because they don't have an obvious marker at the one-third point. So then the Gemara says, Mishut Titzmach. What does it mean that fenugreek becomes chaya Mishut Titzmach? Mishut Titzmach Lizraim, when it gets the seeds in it. Rashi says that Mishut Titzmach Lizraim means Shazera Tzumeach B'tocho, that the seeds already start to develop inside of it. Tosafot learns that Mishut Titzmach Lizraim means that it is ra'ui to plant. That zera, if you took it out now and planted it, it would grow. So that's mishetitzrach zera'im, which would probably be later than Rashi's point of determination. Hatuvav zeitim shaviyo shlish mina hanimile. How do we know that? Am Ravasi, am Rabbi Yochanan, mataba mishmei de Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So we have it, Ravasi, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and some say in the name of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, am akra. Miketz sheva shanim bo'ed shnat ha-shmita b'chaga sukot. So now, Gemara says that it's the end of the seventh year. I mean, the Pasuk says in Vayelech, with regards to Hakel, the mitzvah of Hakel, the end of your seventh year, meaning in the eighth year, b'oed shnat ha-shmitah b'chag ha-sukot. When it's shnat ha-shmitah, it's chag ha-sukot. Gemara says, shnat ha-shmitah mayavite b'chag ha-sukot, shminiti. How could it be shmat shmitah if it's already sukot? The year is already miketz sheva shanim, the end of the seventh year. Now you're in sukot. So Sukkot is already the eighth year, and it's calling it Shnat HaShmita. How could it be Shnat HaShmita and Sukkot at the same time when you're talking about the eighth year. So Elul Malacha Kol Dvash Evia Shlish B'Shviit Lifnei Rosh Hashanah Atanoeg Ba Minag Shviit B'Shminit. Any grain that hit the 1/3 mark before Rosh Hashanah, then it belongs to the 7th year. And even though you're going to harvest it, you're going to take it out in the 8th year, it has a din of Shemitah. So Shemitah doesn't end in the 7th year, because Shemitah carries over into the 8th year. Tosafot over here notes that earlier on, we saw this back on the Daf on Shabbat, on Daf Tet, that when it came to Shvi'it, we said there's Tosefet Shvi'it from Charish Ubikatsir Tishbot. And that told you about Katsir that was post-Shvi'it, that could also be Chayab, meaning that there's Tosefet Shvi'it. So why do I need another puzzle here to teach me about Tosefet Shvi'it when I already have Shvi'it associated with it from Ubikharish Ubikatsir Tishbot? So Tosefot differentiates and says, had I just had this pasuk, I would have thought this item or these items are kadosh b'kdushat shvi'it, but it's already the 8th year, so I can work the land, I can do whatever I want with regards to them. I mean, they might have kdushat shvi'it, but as far as the land is concerned, all the rules are suspended because we're post-shvi'it. So b'charish b'katzir tishbot comes to teach you that the rules of shvi'it apply to these peirot shvi'it that extend into the 8th year. That's what it's basically saying, what you say in the end, which is that you have to bifurcate the din between the peirot themselves, which have their own growing periods, and the working of the land, and that's what Tosefet Shvi'it relates to the land, whereas this relates to the Kedusha of the Peirot, which is all determined by when they grow, or when they hit their Onata Masrot. So Amalei Rabbi Zera Lervasi, V'dilma lo ayo kla, V'kamar achmana, Tashmeit, V'tezel, Ad Chagat Sukkot. He says, wait a minute, maybe they didn't grow at all before Rosh Hashanah, and the Pasuk is telling you, anything that grows by the time of Sukkot is considered to be Shvi'it. Meaning, who says that it had to have grown before Rosh Hashanah to be classified as Shvi'it? Your darshan is from the Pasuk. There's nothing in the Pasuk except the fact that it's Shnata Shemitah by Sukkot. Maybe something that grew until Sukkot is also Shnata Shemitah. Who says it had to be 1/3 before Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says, Lo Saka Datcha. You can't say that. Tichtiv. V'chag Asif B'tzei Tashana. That it's the Chag of the gathering. B'tzei Tashana when the year leaves. May Asif. What does it mean, the gathering? If you think it tells the chag that comes at the agricultural time of asifa, when you're gathering in the crops, haktiv ba'aspecha. The pasuk also says ba'aspecha, which already defines for you the time period. Elamai asif. What is asif? Asif means katsir. Also can mean that it's harvesting. So v'kim ludur abonon, v'chol dfua sh'niktzara b'chag b'yadua sh'vi ashlish lifnei Rosh Hashanah. So the rabbonon have a mesorah, whether that's an empirical mesorah that they tested it, or whether that's a mesorah, halacha the Moshe Misinai, that any tvuah that is harvested on Chag HaSukkot, it already matured a third before Rosh Hashanah. The kakari la b'tzeit Hashanah. And that's what's called b'tzeit Hashanah, which means that's what's granted the previous year's status. So as long as it was hibi shlish before Rosh Hashanah, that's what makes it into the previous year. Now it's obvious here that pashtu the pasuk, and that's what Tosafot says, that the Pashtu Pasuk of Chag Asif is literally, that Pashtei Akra means Abab Zman Asifa, the Chag that comes at the time of the Asif. That's what it means, Chag Asif, that's Pashtu Akra. And that's really what the Psukim mean, that the Psukim mean that Chag Asif, which is the gathering in of the crops, and that's why it's B'tzeit HaShanah. Gathering of the crops belong to the previous year. And the truth is that Tishrei is a very ambiguous month, and that's why it's not so clear where Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year in the Torah, and that's why it's never mentioned as Rosh Hashanah. One of the places that actually makes it sound like it's not Rosh Hashanah on Aleph Tishrei is this pasuk that says Chag HaSukkot is B'tzeit HaShanah, when the year is going out. So the truth is that you actually have two cycles working together. That is that you've begun the next year, but you're also finishing off the tail end of the previous year. Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and we can suggest maybe even Shmini Atzeret, it's really Hoshana Rabbah, relate to the upcoming year. They relate to what's going to happen in the upcoming year. That is, the rainy season that's coming up, are we going to receive rain? The tvua that we're going to have, the din of what people receive, that is the beginning of the year. As far as the previous year, it's also Chag HaSif. It's a time when you're gathering in the crops from the fields before the rainy season. So the two of them actually merge in the same month, which is Tishrei. At one point, I heard Rav Yoel Ben Nun suggest that Tishrei is actually a month that belongs to the previous year and the next year. When we talk about Rosh Hashanah and that sort, it means like the whole month of Tishrei. is part of last year and part of the new year. But in a simpler form, you just have an overlap of years. You have the end of the previous agriculture year, but the anticipation and the precursor to the next year, where Mar Cheshvan is already the rainy season, so Tishrei is the time that you need to daven and you need to look forward. So Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shmini Atzeret, or let's call it Hoshana Rabbah, are all part of that looking forward. And Sukkot is all about looking backwards. On Sukkot itself, we actually have two cycles that are moving simultaneously. And that is when we take the Arba Aminim, we use them in two ways. We use the Arba Aminim for Hallel, to give praise to Hashem for what He gave us in the previous year. But we also use the Arba Aminim for the Hoshanot, about the next year. As well as the fact that the Korbanot Musaf on Sukkot are doubled. And every other holiday you have a par va'ayol and shiva kvasim, or you have shnei parim and ayol and shiva kvasim. Over here by Sukkot you have double. You have 14 kvasim, you have 2 elim, and the parim you have 70 of them, we go down in number. But what you have is a doubling of the Karbanei Musaf. Why do you have a doubling of the Karbanei Musaf? Because Sukkot is really incorporating two holidays into it. It's incorporating the Tzeit HaShana, the end of the previous year, the Chag HaAsif, but it's also incorporating looking out. V'chag nidonim al amayim. In the Chag we get the judgment over water, the Nisuch amayim, the Oshanot, which are looking out into the year. And the coalescing of the two is exactly about that. That we give hoda'ah l'Hashem over what we got for the previous year, but recognize that the upcoming year is also dependent on Hashem. And therefore we have to have both items simultaneously running, which is the thank you and the hallel and the excitement of the simcha, as well as the trepidation or the looking forward to the upcoming year of the rainy season. And that's why you have this overlap here between the previous year and the next year, and why it's called B'Tzeit HaShana. Okay, we'll stop over here.